This is...
Wow! What a week.
What a week. This kid...
Yeah!
Really kicks.
Welcome to our next segment, hashtag Wow, What a Kid, where we chat to Africans under the age of 35 that we feel kick ass and that you should hear about. Our next guest is very familiar with the term sick. No, that doesn't mean he makes home videos involving vacuum cleaners and hamsters. Besides, who has time for that when there's beats and boards to write? Please give a warm welcome to a kid who's familiar with all types of grinding. Please make some noise to Mr. Mayo, 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 Mayo. DJ Speedstar.
What's up, Michael?
Is in the building.
What's going on?
Lesego.
Yebo.
Am I diluting your brand when I call you Lesego?
No, it's okay. Maranki.
Maranki.
As you like to call
What does Maranki mean?
I actually don't know. I think my grandfather passed away in 92 when I was born.
Okay.
I didn't get to meet him, so they gave me his name.
Maranki.
Maranki, yeah.
So why don't you ask what Maranki means?
Good question. I should ask. Okay. I forgot to ask my parents, actually.
Welcome to Wow, What a Week.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about this week. What's the week been like for you?
The week's been good. I've been in Johannesburg shooting a new show.
Yeah, you're a citizen of Cape Town now.
Yeah, I've been living in Cape Town. So I've been in Johannesburg this week.
Yeah.
I've been in the studio working on some music, shooting a new show, which is coming up really, really soon. So okay. Yeah, it's been a very good week.
What kind of show is it that you're shooting?
I'm shooting a show basically trying to remind people to not forget about people who were once their heroes.
Ah.
I think with the way things change and how quick things move, people sometimes forget how special people were to them when they were young, etc. So
okay.
I don't believe in people dying in the industry or falling off. I believe that, you know, there's space for everybody to coexist. So just reminding people that didn't know about great people that have done great things. Yeah. So that's basically the show. Yeah.
So this is a YouTube show.
It's going to exist on YouTube, but okay. The way I'm shooting it is for TV. So I am shopping it around for TV. So probably by February it'll be on screens, yeah.
Gee, so we're waiting until February.
It's dropping now in November on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
By February we should be on TV.
Relocating to Cape Town.
Yeah.
How difficult was that for you?
It was actually very easy because I wanted to do it in 2019.
Yeah.
But it wasn't as easy in 2019. I couldn't just up and go because it was like, and then what? Like, yeah. What are you gonna do there? You know. So, last year when Love and Hip Hop came about, I took a chance and I was like, well, do you guys mind if I shoot in Joburg and me living in Cape Town? They were cool with it.
Yeah.
So it made things a lot more easy. And I think. I didn't have any friends and stuff when I moved there, which was kind of perfect because I just wanted to have some peace and quiet, you know.
Yeah.
I've literally been DJing since 2008, since I was 16 years old.
So what were you running away from moving to Cape Town?
I don't think I was running away from anything. I think I was just going to go catch a breather, especially with a lot of my peers in the hip-hop space passing away. You know, I realized I was like, I don't want to just die, you know. I do want to also live a proper life, you know, just kind of take a back seat and just regroup. Yeah.
How did each one of those deaths affect you at a personal level? You know, whether it was Ricky Rick and how he went out.
Yeah.
Or AKA and how he was taken out.
Yeah.
Because both are traumatic.
Yeah, very traumatic. Yeah. It was a difficult time. I'm not gonna lie, especially like you say, the Ricky incident, the AKA incident. Then there was also the Dimples incident.
And then there's the Dimples incident. And we're in the same WhatsApp group of DJs.
Yeah.
And often a lot of these deaths we found out about before they went public even.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it was just the shock.
Yeah.
Of finding out that someone is gone.
Yes.
Like, I mean, when DJ somebody was assassinated,
that was bad.
We literally found out before the bullet cases had even gone cold.
Yeah.
And already we had found out in our group.
Exactly, yeah. And so those are the kind of things, you know, we're just seeing like our peers like going out like that. You know, you realize that there's more to life than just trying to make money or just trying to be the successful person, you know. So yeah, that was it. I just want to take a young break and just kind of regroup. Yeah. I mean, the Dimples death was really, really hectic for me because he was always kind of like my guide.
Oh, yes.
Into the industry, whether it was me dropping music or me getting onto TV. He was always my guide. And when he left, it was almost like I no longer had a guide. And I know Shake feels the same, you know, and that is why I...
DJ Milkshake,
DJ Milkshake, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why I was like, yo...
Not a shake from Dubai.
Yeah.
That poos on people.
No poo here. And that's why I was like to Shake at the beginning of last year. I was like, well, we need each other. Let's stick together, you know. And that's how No Comply came about, which is a duo, which is him and I.
Yeah.
So we took 2020, the whole of 2021 for No Comply. You wouldn't see a speedster or you wouldn't see a milkshake on the flyers.
Oh, yes.
It was just No Comply. And then this year when I moved, we kind of did our own thing. And now we just do big shows as No Comply. But to answer your questions, the deaths were really, really hectic.
Mm. No Comply, yourself and DJ Milkshake.
Yeah.
Tell us about making it work and the challenges of we have to make it work.
There's many, many challenges, as you know. You know, I think in any business, when you're working with people, it'll always be difficult. But it was always easy for us because we've always had love and respect for each other. So we're able to talk about things. We're able to, you know, kind of settle things. It doesn't have to get hectic or anything like that. But yeah, it was challenging at first, especially with fees, because trying to get the brand out there, you know, you're taking half of, sometimes not even half of what you normally
exactly.
earn. When you're moving, you're no longer moving. Like I'm a kind of person, when I'm in the bus, I don't like to speak. Sometimes don't want music. It's just me and the driver and maybe a photographer.
Yeah.
But you get used to having a road manager, driver, Shake.
Now it's like you're on a school trip.
You're like on a school trip,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
Small little things like, you know, we have small little fights. Like maybe I don't like how Shake sits in the bus. He sometimes doesn't like when I smoke in the bus. You know, so there's all those little challenges, but we make it work, yeah.
What do you mean small fights? I know there's been big fights also.
Not really big.
I know there was a big fight. I think it was between Polokwane and Nelspruit.
I mean, we haven't really had like like big fights. You know, it's nothing serious.
Yeah.
There hasn't been anything like serious, you know, like a deal breaker kind of a vibe.
I want to comment, but also because I've got inside information, I don't know if it's right for me to comment.
No, please. Maybe you know something I don't. Maybe you know something I don't.
Wasn't there a time you wanted to give management some hands?
Oh, yes. No, I did give management some hands.
Can you imagine?
I did give management some hands. I apologize for that, management.
Yeah. So how did he feel, though, catching hands? But you guys must still travel in the same combi.
You kind of got a wake-up call, to tell you the truth.
Oh, geez, so hands work.
Yeah, no, he got a proper wake-up call. But I wasn't too proud about that.
You know, after that happened...
I actually forgot about that story.
You know, after that happened, Milkshake called me.
Yeah.
Milkshake called me saying, we have a crisis. I don't know what to do. Advise me.
Yeah.
So Milkshake calls me he uses me as a sounding board for a lot of things that happened in his life. And I remember him... at some stage even saying, maybe I should talk to you.
Yeah.
Like, so that I can catch hands.
I wouldn't dare. Yeah, no, I wasn't proud about that at all. But yeah, that happened.
You were voted Hip Hop DJ of the Year. Was it 2016?
2017, 18, 19. So 3 times in a row, yeah.
Gee, slow down, bro. And, you know, with such awards will always come the naysayers.
Yeah.
How do you deal with naysayers?
I used to deal with them very well, funny enough, but over time, I actually didn't know how to deal with them, you know, and that's the time when I was kind of losing my mind, when I was swearing the whole world on the socials.
Yo, you went nonke on everyone on social media some stage.
Yeah. Because I actually didn't know how to deal with it anymore. Before that, I was...
So what was frustrating you about it?
It was almost like you know, you do so much, people love you, etc., and one day you wake up and it's like people don't love you and they don't see you, and you know, you kind of get frustrated, because I was always like very nice to everybody, and it was just got to a point where it was like, okay, some people are taking advantage, some people are taking the piss, you know.
Yes, I bother no one, but here you are fucking with my shit.
Yeah, kind of a vibe. So that wasn't the way to deal with it. But to answer your question, I didn't know how to deal with it. But how I deal with it now is just kind of you know, close my phone and carry on, because you look at the social, someone is saying something, but you walk out into the town and everybody loves you. It's like a whole different vibe. Yeah.
Would you say some of your social media rants affected your TV and radio gigs?
Maybe the radio gig, not sure. The TV gig was coming to an end. But I was getting calls from up there saying, yo, just, you know, you got to watch out.
From management?
Yeah, from management. Just like, yo, you got
to... This is at Metro FM, by the way, if you don't know where he was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So each time management call you out on social media, like what will go through your mind?
At that time, like, I was so hard-headed. I was very like, whatever, like, fucking fuck this guy, man, you know. I said fuck this guy, it's fuck that guy. You know, take this job if you need to take it, do whatever you're gonna do. But I think it wasn't that much of a big deal. It was more of a big deal with some of the deals that I lost. I lost a couple of deals
because of your rants.
Because of my rants.
What deals did you lose?
I lost the Kiwi deal, I lost the Order in General deal. And then from there, I lost the Castle Light deal that I was doing for a very long time. I kind of swore them as well.
Well, and you swore at them?
I swore at them, yeah.
Jeez, and, then,
and then obviously that transpired to word getting around, you know, that he's a problem child. Don't work with him, which is where I am, which is basically where I am at now, trying to fix that whole.
So you're trying to make amends now?
Basically, yeah.
So what was the wake-up call for you?
I guess just, you know, kind of growing up, waking up and understanding that, like, you know, life is not fair. Life goes on. And I don't know.
In fact, we're going to play a game. Mm. The game is called Who Was More of a Problem Child?
Yeah.
Me or you?
Definitely me.
No, we'll see. We'll see. Let's talk about the time you locked your teachers at school in the staff room.
Yes.
Why would you lock your teachers in the staff room?
Because there was a mass bunk.
And what were the consequences of that?
The consequences of that were...
Let's talk about the locking up first. So what happened that day? Were you in primary school?
No, I was in high school.
Okay.
I was matric. And okay, we were having a mass bunk. So a mass bunk basically means everybody go home. It's a Friday after assembly. We go to the first two periods. Break time, everybody go home. If you don't go home, we're going to deal with you.
Jeez.
You know, it was a thing that always happened with matrix. When I was in grade 8, it happened grade 9, grade 10, etc. So I was in matrix, so it was time for me to now do it. So yeah, I had a deal with the bus driver. I hope he's, you know, I'm protecting him.
Yes.
He gave me the keys. I locked them in the staff room and we told everybody to go home. And then everybody went home. Yeah, that was that.
So what happened after that? What were the consequences for that?
The consequences of that, when I got back to school on the Monday, they said, because my parents were so hurtful, they were like, look, do whatever you need to do with this guy.
So your parents were done with you, basically?
Yeah, my parents were like done with me at that point. Mm. And they basically said that I couldn't be in normal school because I don't want to behave like a normal school child. So I was in special school during school. So I didn't go to class with everyone else. I went to class like alone, in my own time.
Are you for real?
I had to do the garden at the school. I had my own break. So during break, you'd see me cutting the grass and so forth. And then when their break ends, that's when my break starts. So I did that for about 2 weeks where I wasn't allowed to be part of society.
Yeah, because you don't want to be a part of society.
Because I don't want to be a part of society. So those were the consequences. And I must tell you, that was a big wake-up call. It is not nice. It was not nice at all.
Okay, so I've never locked teachers into a staff room. So... speedster one, fresh zero.
Yes.
Let's talk about primary school. Primary school, you went to a Catholic school.
I started off at a Catholic school.
You started off at a Catholic school. And then what this dude does, he's in primary school. There's a non-Catholic school across the road.
Yes.
And then he walks across to the non-Catholic school.
Yes.
And tells them, I would like to enroll myself because I'm done with those.
I'm done at the Catholic school. Because all my friends went to the normal school. My parents wanted me to go to a Catholic school, private school. I was like, what is this? And I kept telling them.
How old were you?
I was 7 years old. I was going into grade one.
Yeah.
And I kept telling them, I want to go with my friends. And my parents were not listening to me. And I was like, okay, shut. And then, the one day my mom dropped me off. I was like, bye, mom. Have a good day. Yeah. As soon as she went around the corner, I walked to the other school. And I was like, I'm here. And the rest is history, yeah.
What do your folks say when they found out that you've left the Catholic school?
Yeah.
This good private school.
Yeah.
To go to public school.
So the reason I was so comfortable with doing that as well is because at the public school, my parents knew the principal. His name was Mr. Van Pletzen. Okay. So I got there and I was like, Mr. Van Pletzen, he was a stepfather to my brother's best friend.
So he knew you?
He knew me, okay. Yeah. So I was like, Mr. Van Pletzen, please call my parents. I want to be in this school. So yeah, I got there and then he called them. They came in, we had to buy a uniform, and then, the next day I was enrolled.
You are a legend. I've never done that, so speeds the two. Fresh zero.
Yeah.
You arranged a sleepover with your friends.
Yes.
And then your brother comes home and finds you guys drunk.
Yes.
You were children.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
First of all, that was not my idea. That was not. I was just there. That was not my idea. But yes, I was having a sleepover with two of my friends.
Yeah.
And we had won our first roller hockey game.
Okay.
And my dad always had a fully stocked bar, but he's never touched alcohol in his life.
So how old were you at the time?
Geesh, we must have been 13, 14. Mm. I think 13, 14, around there. And my dad always had a stack bar, but he never drank. And then one day we decided to taste.
Yeah.
Tasting one drink became two drinks, three drinks, four drinks. And that was obviously the first time we were drinking. So my brother walked into a house of vomit. We were sleeping in our vomit. My parents obviously woke up. And what my parents actually did was they were like, they're not going to deal with this. So they actually called my friends' parents and were like, come see for yourself.
Come see your children.
Come see what's happening here. And we got the hiding of our lives that day. Yeah, that was pretty heavy.
I've never been found drunk by my parents. In fact, the only time I drank was, I think, in grade four.
Yeah.
We'd gone and watched... What is it? The Drunken Master. It's a Jackie Chan movie.
Yes.
And he'd drink wine and then he'd do Kung Fu drunk.
Yeah.
And then we came home. My parents had a braai.
Yeah.
And there was these boxes of Autumn Harvest.
Yes, yes, yes.
That had been left all over the place. So me and my friends removed the sack
from
the thing.
Yeah.
And then we drank this Autumn Harvest. We drank this Autumn Harvest and decided that we were Drunken Masters. That's the only alcohol I ever had until I was 21. So Speedster wins 3-0.
Yes.
Next challenge. Sorry. You ran away from home.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
What happened was I used to steal... There used to be cars at home, so I used to steal the cars a lot.
because that's the next challenge.
When the parents go away, you know. And I think my parents were catching on to what I was doing. So the one time they went to Sun City and they said they were going to come back like Sunday afternoon, like 5 o'clock or so. Mm. So it was a Sunday and I'd taken the car early, went to the skate park, did like donuts, showing, trying to be cool.
Yeah, you're the man.
I was the man. Took the car back home, nice, proper, and then went back to the skate park like nothing happened, you know? Mm. And just the speed in me was puppering, and I was like, no, man, I need to take the car and go one more round. I want to go show some chicks that I can drive.
Yes.
And so I kind of like, my parents caught on because I called them. I was like, so what time are you guys getting home? I was calling them the whole time, just trying to gauge how much time I had. And long story cut short, they basically lied about when they'd be back. Okay. So I went to do whatever I was doing, and then when I got back home with the car, they were there. My parents were there. I was like, oh shit. And then we basically had a big fight, and then that was the first time my dad actually like laid hands on me.
How old were you?
I was probably 15, 16.
Yeah.
And
how did it feel catching hands from pops for the first time?
It was strange because he's not a violent guy, you know. I think that's why I ran away, because I was like, what the fuck is happening? I was like,
so you ran away to where?
I just ran away. I went to my friends, I went to the skate park, because this is my rebel times when I wanted to be a pro skater. That's what I wanted to do. Yeah. And at the time, all the white kids were going to homeschool and we're doing, these were all the crazy things that we're doing. So I just ran away and they somehow found me. I was very sad when they found me.
How long were you gone for?
I must have ran away about 4 p.m. on a Sunday night. On a Sunday afternoon, they found me maybe midnight, 1 o'clock, Monday morning.
I thought you were gone like for a week.
No. I tried to run away for a week, but you realize you don't have that much money and so forth.
Matricia stole the car. We had a boarding, I was at boarding school, but our boarding school was like 10-minute walk from our house. Matric year, we're done with our exams. In fact, it's just before the exams start. Go home and I steal the car. You know these Mercs, the 230E. We're that green one, that olive green one. So we go partying with my boys. My girlfriend is at the back. It's nice. And then we're going from a house party to a club. And another friend of mine, he had a, he drove his dad's Nissan 1400.
Okay.
I didn't know the Nissan 1400 fucked off. I thought I'm in a Merc, so I got this. So we're literally drag racing along a busy road. And but this Nissan 1400 is
what's going
like gear for gear. The Nissan 14. I'm like, what the fuck's going on here? But then when we got to a to a turnoff, I think a dude slowed down, but I didn't realize he slowed down. So I pranked into this car. I pranked into this car and took out the front lamp of my dad's Merc and the fender. So we went partying anyway. And from there, I went home and I parked the car. And they never saw me again until I'd finished my exams. I just left the car there. I said nothing. And I just left the car there. Until my mom came to the boarding house and says, we saw what happened to the car. Don't worry, you can come home.
Nice.
You are not in trouble.
Oh, that's nice. But you had good marks and so forth there. And I mean,
in my matric year, my marks were decent, but before then, they were kake. They were kake. And then the one time I ran away from home, again, I was a kid, I was, I think, grade one or grade two. And that smacked me because I'd sworn at my dad because I was that guy. If my dad shoot me, I'd shoot him back.
Because you grew up with white kids, right?
So I swore at my dad. And
not a good idea.
They smacked me. So I did like it happens in the movies. I literally took a dishcloth and I put some bread in it. And then I tied it into a stick. And I told them I'm running away. So I left the yard, and I walked. There was a big like morula tree. Like not far from the house. So I went and sat there the whole day. So that they think I've run away.
Because you didn't have a cell phone at that time, right?
Fuck, I didn't have a cell phone for a while.
Yeah.
And the food ran out. And then as soon as I was hungry, I came home.
Went back home.
And then as I walk in, my mom says to my dad, I told you he'll be hungry and come back.
That's crazy.
So I was very upset. So what, is this a draw?
That's a draw,
Running away and stealing cars? You broke both of your wrists. How did you break both of your wrists?
How do you know all of this, uncle? That's so crazy.
I've got a great research team.
I broke both of my wrists on a friend of mine, Frubes's quad bike. We used to have quad bikes or whatever. And I've always been a very chachara kid. I've always like...
Nothing has changed, but carry on.
You know what I mean? And I don't know what I was thinking, because it was the first time that we had... he got a four-wheeler that had reverse. I was like, reverse? So I don't know what I was thinking, but I was trying to do a donut in reverse. So I was reversing really fast, trying to donut. And long story cut short, the bike fell on me. Both my wrists were broken. I couldn't even pee. So Frubes actually, he used to go to the bathroom with me and zip it for me. I couldn't.
So both wrists are broken.
Both wrists.
So are you in casts then?
I'm in two casts. I can't write.
So Frubes was what your cock holder?
Frubes was my cock holder. Literally. That's why he's my best friend.
Listen, if someone has held you while you wee, they'll become your best friend.
But he actually sold me out to my mom eventually, because what happened was we went to a birthday party at a place called Aquadome in the Emerald Casino. We would swim and it's good time. And my mom was like, you can go to the birthday party.
I remember the Aquadome.
The Aquadome.
I've played a couple of sets there.
Yes, you have. And she was like, you can go to the party, but you can't swim. You've got two cars. I was like, no problem. I'm not going to swim. There I am swimming, having the time of my life, you know, because you know all the chick, come swim. You're swimming, whatever. I'm thinking, no, I'm king job. This thing is dry by now, whatever.
Yeah.
I get, my mom gets there. She's like, do you think I'm stupid? Where's, you know, because people used to write on the thing. She's like, why is it suddenly clean? I'm like, no, man, mom, I just cleaned it myself. And she's like, dude, you, I think you're so slick. Let's go, you know, and I had to go get new cars because those things were soaking wet.
So does Frubes feel like he like knows you intimately?
He knows me pretty well, though. He knows me pretty well,
You guys went overseas on a roller hockey trip.
Yes.
How much game time did you get?
Jeesh, I must have played a whole of 2.5 minutes.
What happened?
It was the Roller Hockey World Cup. We went there, South Africa. So we were obviously the best from different clubs in South Africa. Okay. Put us together a national team. But when we got there, when we got there, they were on like a different level. Like they were getting paid to play, you know.
So you were playing with professional
roller hockey. Okay. Yeah. So I just, at 2.5 minutes, and those 2.5 minutes were very hectic. I remember I was falling all over the place. I was nervous. I suddenly couldn't shoot, suddenly couldn't pass, suddenly couldn't do anything, but great experience. I went twice, actually. I went 2007 and 2009, Roller Hockey World Cup. Yeah.
So what happened to your roller hockey career?
DJ Speedster came about, started throwing house parties for all the high schools. I started playing at all the matric farewells, all the Valentine's balls, started drinking alcohol. Stop skating, stop playing roller hockey.
You guys would throw parties, wild parties, at other kids' houses?
Yes, we would throw parties like neighboring houses, neighboring schools. We'd book out halls and have these crazy... We had a crazy movement going, but a high school movement, because a lot of the time my friends couldn't come watch me play in the clubs.
Oh, yes.
Because Hot Soup was doing all the parties, and I was playing at
all. So Hot Soup is his brother, Soul Kid.
Yeah. And Master M.
And Master M, basically.
Yeah, they used to throw like the biggest parties. So my friends couldn't come see me play. So I was like, okay.
I'll fix it.
Hold
my beer.
Yeah. So I did my own parties, and I had a friend who worked at the Liquor City at the time.
Yeah.
Gave me alcohol on consignment, and we used to book out halls, and we used to run bars there. We made lots of cash, obviously illegally. Yeah, cops would come, would give them cool drink.
Speaking of cops, and unfortunately, I can't beat this one.
Yeah.
Cops once came to your parents' place to arrest you.
Yeah.
You were still a child.
Yeah.
What happened?
We were chilling at the skate park. A friend of mine, Jock, I was doing CTAs, I think.
Yeah.
So it's in grade 9. And he was doing matric finals at the time. And we had an off day. I think we had an off week, both of us. And we were chilling at the skate park, smoking weed.
Sure.
Just relaxing in his car. He was a matric. He had a car. And while we were hotboxing the car, the cops just pulled up on us, and they took us home. They couldn't arrest us because we were underage, so they called our parents. But my parents didn't answer. Thank God, my parents always answer. That day they didn't answer their calls. Jock's parents answered, so Jock's parents came to the scene. They took him. He was banned. Not banned. They took his car away from him. We're banned from the skate park, etc., etc. We couldn't be friends anymore. They just took me home, hoping my parents would be home. No one was home. And then when no one was home, I was like, no one is home, guys. Like, go away, you know? And then, they returned. They returned in the evening to come and...
Come pick you up.
Come pick me up. Mm. So what I did was they were doing the sirens outside, and I could hear the sirens. And I was like, fuck that. I'm not opening. My parents were in their bedroom. Mm. And I'm like, fuck this. I'm putting the volume up. I'm watching TV. I'm not opening here. And my dad comes to me. He's like, can you hear some like a noise? I said, no, I can't hear nothing, whatever. Goes back to bed. You can still hear the noise, the noise.
Yeah.
Eventually he goes to check for himself. And I kid you not, as he opened the curtain, just to, because we used to live in a cul-de-sac, to see who's at the gate, I saw like the bucky just go out of the street. He didn't see obviously what happened, went back to bed. And that was it. They actually didn't find out. They actually didn't know about that story. And the reason...
So I just told them.
Yeah, we just told them now, actually, The reason I didn't want them to know about that story is because the year before, in grade 8, it was an inter-high thing, whatever. And I wanted to start smoking weed. So I was speaking to this matric guy, this dealer guy, and I was like, yo, on Friday's inter-high, whatever. Yeah, and he was showing me the weed. And I was like, hey, I'll bring the money on Friday, whatever.
Yeah.
And as he was showing me the weed, the principal and the vice principal walked into... the bathroom while all of this was happening, called our parents or whatever. So how we kind of played it off, I was like, no, this guy was bullying me, and
into a life of weed.
Into a life of weed, and I said no. So luckily I hadn't started smoking weed, so the test came out negative. So that's why the following year I was like, no, I do not need this weed story
absolutely.
With my parents,
I was
one of those kids, Fresh, I won't lie to you.
Looking back at your childhood, looking back at your rants on social media and what they've cost you,
like
what do you think? What goes through your head? What goes through your mind? Looking at what you put your parents through, what you put your brother, soul kid through.
Yeah. Shame. Yeah, they've been through quite a bit. Yeah. Mm. I think, like I said, you grow up and you start to understand that you're not a little kid anymore. Mm. You can't just do what you want. You know, you actually need to.
There's consequences
to everything. Because yeah. I was to tell you the real truth, I was living the high life for many, many years. You know, on the road, making money, drinking, girls, clubs, you name it. You know, I was doing it. I was invincible in my head. You know. And. The main thing I would say, because in all those rants and stuff, I was never sober. I never did any of those rants sober.
No, remember at 2 a.m. we'd message you and say, dude,
yeah,
is there someone there who can take your phone away?
Yeah. So I got to understand that you know, I can't, number one, say whatever's on my mind, especially because there are kids out there who look up to me.
Sure.
There are consequences, etc. So yeah, that was something that I had to learn, and we keep it moving, we live and we learn.
So what's next for Speedster?
What's next for Speedster is the show that I'm working on. Like I said, I'm working on new music, skateboarding as usual,
sure,
chilling, trying to build a family. You know, I want some young Speedsters as well. just
assuming you haven't left any out there yet.
There's not any that I know of, but you never know.
Yeah.
But I'm just trying to, you know, go with the flow.
Sure.
Yeah.
Greatest skater of all time.
The greatest skater of all time. Jeesh, good question.
In your humble opinion, of course.
In my humble, I have to go to Nigel Houston.
Okay.
Yeah, Nigel Houston.
And some would say, why not Tony Hawk?
Tony Hawk is not quite my style. He's obviously the legend. Yeah. He, you know, opened the doors for everyone. But he's a vert skater. Mm. I'm a street skater, so I'm drawn to street skaters. Yeah.
Greatest non-South African rapper of all time.
Greatest non-South African rapper of all time. Probably have to go with Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the South African rapper.
The greatest South African rapper is definitely AKA, rest in peace. Yeah.
What is it about the Super Mega?
The Super Mega understood how to speak to South Africans, and he was the most South African South Africa you would ever find. And I think he did it at a time where it was very difficult for a colored person to kind of relate to black people, but he was able to kind of create his music in a way where everybody could enjoy it. So yeah, rest in peace.
Are you working on any music?
I'm working on music. Yeah, I've just finished the EP, which is coming out really soon.
Yes, sir.
Shooting music videos next week, Cape Town, Johannesburg. So I feel really good. I took a nice break, been chilling.
Yeah.
I haven't really worked this year. I was just chilling, skating, going to the beach. So yeah, kind of getting back into the swing of things, getting back to work, and I'm feeling good.
My dude, we wanted to bring you in here.
Thank you.
And just remind people that there's this dude here. This kid was a naughty kid. He has said and done a lot of naughty shit.
Yeah.
But he's still very talented. And we want to see you fly, my dude.
Thank you.
We want to see your name in bigger lights.
Yeah.
We want to see you doing bigger things.
Yeah, yeah. I still got a lot to do. I'm in the mood.
Where do we find you on social media?
At Speeds the Bro across all social media, Twitter, well, X, as you guys call it. I'm not very active there anymore.
Thank you.
But I'm an Instagram guy. I've recently become a TikTok guy as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can check me out there. And yeah, out and about in the streets.
#WhatAKid. Ladies and gentlemen, Speedster is about to leave the building.